glory, glory. Amen. Let's just give the Lord some more praise and worship. My, the praise and the worship this morning is so good. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning. We give you much praise, and we thank you for your honoring us with your presence. The blessing is here and in manifestation. And we give you praise and honor for the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, and that he is Lord. And we willingly bow our knees this morning. We willingly confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we thank you, and we praise you, and we bless you this morning. Father, we dedicate this facility from the top to the bottom, the front, the back, and all the way around to the ministry of your word, to manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Oh my, yes. We place ourselves in your hands. You are the mighty teacher, and we receive. Thank you, Father. From now until Saturday night, this place is a holy cathedral of the Word of the Living God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Shout amen, somebody. Now then, in being obedient to the written word of God, let's pray according to the word that says, first of all, brethren, I exhort you that petition, supplication, thanksgiving be made for all men, kings and all that are in authority, that the church might live not only in peace, but in honesty. So what does that mean, Brother Copeland? Well, there are governments that Christian people have to lie if they go to church, or lie if they worship God. Amen. They have to hide the fact that they own a Bible. Well, that's not living in godliness and honesty. Did you ever notice that there's no such thing as a bad government that loves God? First thing any government does that oppresses the people is come out against Christianity and against the Word and against people worshiping God. That ought to tell you something right there. I mean, and I tell you, there's another thing it tells us. We are a blessed people, and we need to be more aware of it. Praise God. Amen. I really get irritated sometimes that I hear news media and politicians that are stuck on stupid, you know, and you go on and on and on. You think, how could anybody be that dumb? Well, you get that dumb when there ain't nobody praying for you. Amen. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Praise God. This is a key issue. And it's not just... It isn't just because of the Jews. That is a major part of it. But I'll tell you, war over that city is in the spiritual realm is a key issue to the whole worldwide terrorism thing. And people don't understand why they hate the Jews. They don't understand that. It's because Satan hates them. And because Satan hates you. Well, what do I care what he likes or what he doesn't? He doesn't have any authority here in the name of Jesus. Well, Father, we pray for the leaders of our countries. We pray for the leader of the United States. We pray for the leaders of the other nations that are represented here and on the internet. And we call down principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. You're not our ruler, bless God. We're children of the light. wicked spirits in heavenly places, you desist in your maneuvers to destroy our nations and destroy the preaching of the gospel. You crawl the dust under our feet in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we hold all the leaders up to you today for your will to be manifested in their lives. And all of them that will agree to your will, we receive them being blessed. And all of them that just refuse to do your will, we ask you to remove them and put somebody in there that will. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, we call for the righteous to rule. The judges. We hold the judges up before you. The judges. When you healed the land of Israel, you said, I will change your judges back to the way they were at the beginning, and I will change your counselors. Well, change the judges and the lawyers, praise God, all over this nation and all of the other nations in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now shout amen. Say it's done. In Jesus' name, shake hands with three people, smile as big as you can, and tell them you love them this morning in the Lord. Then you can be seated. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory. Now, I believe this is our 28th year for this convention here in this facility. Am I correct? Is this in this number 28? Praise the Lord. Do I have anybody other than Jerry and me that's been here for all 28 of them? Oh, yeah, look at there. Praise the Lord. They all been good, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Praise the Lord. I mean to tell you, I have never been on go like I am today. I've been in this ministry for 40 years. I'm 70 years old, and I have never been this strong. I've never been this hungry for God. I've never seen the move of God in my life like it is today. Hallelujah! Amen! Some of you young squirts better go back to the weight room, because you got some of the us old guys. They're going to run plumb off and leave you if you don't get with the program. Praise God. I mean what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you bring your Bible with you today? Open it up to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Then find the book of Revelation. We're going to go all the way. No. We may do it, but I know we won't go that far in this service anyway. Amen. We're going to begin today with something that will establish you throughout this week and make a serious development and very serious change in your life and in your motives of life, what's behind your thinking for the rest of your life. We've said it for many years, one word and God will change your life forever. This will affect the way you receive from God all this week in these meetings. It will affect the way you conduct your daily life. And so the Lord yesterday in prayer, yesterday morning, the Lord was ministering to me about this week and said, this is what I want you to begin with Monday morning. Because he said, I want this to be implanted. It will change people's minds and ideas about every service for the rest of this week and then for the rest of their lives. Well, I remember when it changed and affected my life, and maybe I'll, as we go, the Lord will allow me to give you part of that testimony. Genesis chapter 1, in the very first verse, in the beginning, God. Say that. In the beginning, God. Understand this. The word God is not a Hebrew word. It is not a Greek word. It actually was introduced into the translating of the Bible from Hebrew and from Greek, Old and New Testament, over into another language. As far as I've been able to research and find out, the way we use the word God today was introduced from the German language, Gott. And the word, English word God, which just simply means some sort of supreme being. Well, you say God, you could have a myriad of different ideas in people's minds about what you're talking about. Some people think God is some big rock somewhere on top of a mountain. Other people think God is this little statue that stands down in the basement in the dark. You know, God could mean anything. But now, particularly from the Hebrew language, that word was not used. It was used to translate several Hebrew names of God. So we're going to renew our minds and our thinking so that we come into a stronger, more living mental and spiritual concept of that word. And it would do you good in your Bible reading from this day forward, and as you read through the Bible, every time you find the word God, you'll be able to deal with it. And make some notes every time you find it. And you can spend a lot. I've spent the last 40 years doing this, and it is brand new. And it hit me new here just a few days ago. Is one of the reasons, and it's been such a blessing to me, that the Lord has instructed me to do this. Now then, in the beginning, God. Now, if you have pen and paper, you're making notes, just put, I just wrote that phrase down there, in the beginning, God. And now let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Or excuse, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. Tell you what let's do. Let's read from verse 1 down into 5, and this will even become stronger. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, that Zoe life. Which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus, the Anointed One, and of course, including His anointing. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him.
Underline the word him. And this is the message we heard of him. And this is the message that we declare unto you, that God is light. God is light. And in him who? In him, God, who is light. Aha. Now, in our thinking, God just does not mean God. Now we're all on the same page. And when we say God, we can now know light. And we're not talking about sunshine. Light, in its purest form, light in its God state, is not just something that's bright. It is the ultimate power at the heart of all matter. All material things are held together by the force of light. It's not just revealed knowledge. We say, well, the entrance of his word bringeth light. Well, that's true. That's part of it. That is a manifestation of it. But when we say God is light, we're talking about a glory that is beyond, just out there beyond human comprehension. It's the most powerful thing that human beings have anything to do with. Amen. Hallelujah. Now then, God is light, and in him, in God who is light, there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. If we walk in the light, if we walk in God, can you see? You see how this spiritual exercise is going to work? If we walk in light, well, if we walk in God, who is light, as he, God, is in the light, as he, Jesus, walks in the light, as he, God, is the light in which he conducts himself. Hallelujah. See, I mean, man, listen, you get to massaging this, and it is all kind of revelation begin to come out of it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to squeeze it for everything it's worth. We have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, in him is no darkness. When we walk in the light as he is in the light, and you walk in the light as he is in the light, you are walking in God as he is in God, and we're walking together in the light. We're walking together in God. Did you know the scripture says you are light? Did you know the word said you are born of light? Hallelujah. Well, wouldn't that mean you are born of God? Huh? Absolutely so. We know we are. Amen. Because the word said we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Oh, uh-huh. Hit the back button, one phrase. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of light, which abides forever. So, God is light. Word of God would have to be word of light. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you're born of light. That makes you light. The scripture said, you were once darkness, now you are light. Walk in the light as he is in the light, because you're born of the light. Put on the armor of light. Scripture says in the book of Romans, put on the armor of light. That what would the armor of light be? That'd be the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of right. Well, that's the armor of light, isn't it? If it's the armor of God, it's the armor of light, because God is light. Hallelujah. I done preached myself happy. Praise God. One reason I'm so happy, because I know where we're going with this. Praise God. I guarantee you're going to like it. Amen. Now then, so, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, light. Some of you already ahead of me here a little bit. Back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, light created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God said, light be. And I went, whoa. In the beginning, God, who is light, said, light be. You want me to paraphrase that? In the beginning, God said, me be. Hallelujah. Woo, yeah. That's the reason light is at the source of everything there is. God is at the source of everything there is. Oh, praise God. If I had time, I'd shout. All right. Now then. Oh, I mean, we could just stay on this one thing about light, but we got to go on. Now, let's go over here to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, who is light, and everyone that loves is born of God, who is light, and knows God. Now, to pick up the real impact of this, you have to pick up on the Greek word that's translated here, know. It's also translated intercourse. It is the most intimate of words. It is the word that describes the most intimate relationship that two beings can have with one another. Very intimate relationship with one another. Now, let's translate that this way, because this thing is just compounding right and left. So now watch what we're saying here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, who is light, so love is of light. And everyone that loves is born of God, who is light, and has intimate relationship with light. Now, what does that mean is available to you? You having, as you love one another, you are developing inside you the light aspect, the power aspect of God, who is light, who is your Father. And you are developing His presence on the inside as you love one another, because that opens the door for Him to minister light to your being. And you develop an intimate relationship with Him. You know God, so you know light. Now, what does that mean? That means you're not walking in darkness. Well, if you're not walking in darkness, there ain't much the devil. I mean, he can't handle you till you get over in the dark with Him. Amen. The Lord asked me one morning, He said, what kind of a fool is it to walk in a room, turn out the light, and then stumble over everything in there? And he said, that's what my people are doing when they refuse to love one another and they choose strife and they choose, rather than to just grit up and keep that commandment of love and stay in the light and quit stumbling over the stuff that the devil puts in front of you. Amen. Some of you got it. He that loves not knoweth not God. He that does not love cannot develop this kind of relationship with God. For God is love. Oh, now wait a minute, Brother Copeland. I thought God is light. You're exactly right. But just said God is love. That's exactly right. And light is love. And love is light. And love is God. And light is God. And God is light. And God is love. And love never fails. Why? Because it's light and it doesn't stumble. Yeah, we're getting there. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God, who is love, who is light, towards us. Because love sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, who is light, who is love. Praise God. Hallelujah. Herein is love. Herein is God. Herein is light. Not that we loved God, who is love, who is light, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Now then, you have it written down there now. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, light. In the beginning, love. Now, you remember what we read right here in the very first chapter here? It said, for the life was manifested. We have handled of the word of life, verse 2. For the life was manifested. All right. What life? What the life? Say, well, that is Jesus. Well, yeah, sure it was. Well, who is he? Son of God. Well, that makes him the Son of light. That makes him the Son of love. And when you said, well, now the Lord said to me, yeah, right, and every word in this book is something God said. Light said, life said, the word said, love said. You could just as easily say, you know, love said to me, by his stripes I'm healed. Love said to me, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It wasn't just God. Love said that. Light said that. Well, if light said it, and light, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and he's light, and I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, then wherever light and love and life is telling me to go, there's going to be light and love and light there. When I get there, praise God, amen. And I'm going to take light and I'm going to take life and I'm going to take love wherever I go. And as the blessing is manifest, wherever I am, it's going to turn what is, circumstances are there into the Garden of Eden around me. Praise God. Amen. Instead of, oh, I don't know, man. If I ever started serving God, they don't tell what kind of hell hole he'd send me. You telling me you ain't in a hell hole now? That's why I told Gloria that time. I said, Gloria, we can't go up there at that Oral Roberts University. These two little old kids, what do? We could just starve out up there. She said, Kenneth, we're starving now. We might as well starve in the will of God is out. And I thought, duh, that woman you gave me. Thank God for it. Amen. I said, well, yeah, you're right. Well, then she went ahead to expound on that. Brother, she waxed bold, too. She got stronger the longer she talked. She said, Kenneth Copeland, and there she stands, you know, all 5'3" of her. Kenneth Copeland, some guy could call you from someplace on the other end of the country and offer you a job flying some old wore-out airplane that you ain't ever even seen before. You'd box me and these kids up, we'd be out of here by daylight, headed to work for somebody you don't know. You don't know whether he's got money enough to pay you. You don't know whether he's telling you the truth or not. You hadn't got a clue other than the fact, oh, we're going to get to fly his airplane. Now, here we go. And here is God Almighty calling you to a holy place and calling in you into a ministry, and you stand here and say, we're going to starve out, and you won't go. I said, okay, okay. All right already. Amen. Well, see, light himself. The reason he's not going to tell you any more than that, he wants you to walk in the light. Not by your flesh, but being led by the Spirit of light. By the Word of light. Which is what? Life. What does the Bible say about that? It says the Word is life to those that find it. And healing, medicine to all their flesh. Praise God. Amen. And so we just stepped out and just went up there. I went up there as much for what Gloria said as I did for what the Lord said. They both got in my face, but Gloria was real plain about it. And we went up there, wasn't because she is so excited about all that. She just knew that's what we're supposed to be doing. We got up there and somebody had found this little ridiculous weather beaten, beat up shotgun house we're supposed to move into. It is 2 weeks before she ever unpacked. That's the ugliest thing you ever saw. But it turned into a sanctuary before it was over with. Of course, she got busy and she started painting and all that, painting the walls. I made a deal with the landlord. I said, you know, I ain't got the money to buy the paint, but I'll sure do the work. If you buy the paint, I'll paint this place. He kind of grinned. He said, it needs it, don't it? I said, yeah, it sure does. Hey, okay, he said, I'll buy the paint. He was a nice guy. He just needed help. And so we painted the inside of that thing. And our table in the kitchen dining room. Yeah, right. In this little dinette area there. And we had a table that Gloria had scrounged all over town. She found the base of a table. And she found the top of another table, and all of it was just a mess. And bless her heart, I'll tell you, she went to work on that, and she put all that together and refinished it. Look, pretty good. Looked real good compared to anything else we had. And so that was our table. She found some chairs. I don't know where she dug this stuff up, but she scrounged around junkyards and stuff, and she found some chairs, and she sanded them down and re-glued them and got them where they'd hold you up and painted them to match that table. And there we were in early Goodwill. And it looked good to us. And that was, and she did that all throughout that little house. Well, by the time we got through doing that, we had begun to sense and to know the blessing of the Lord, and he was helping us. Praise God. And the very first day, I mean, signing up day, I mean, registering for classes day, I got hired to fly the best airplane I had ever flown in my life, and Oral Roberts owned it, which meant he couldn't go preach without me. that finally dawned on my lightning fast mind. Now, what had happened here, the Lord knew he's going to do that all the time, but he wasn't going to use that to con me into coming to school. There wouldn't have been any faith in it. No faith, no light. No faith, no manifestation of him. There's no connection there unless you'll step out on it by faith, which is what we did, and things began to manifest. And, of course, then you know the rest of the story. Here I stand 40 years later in a whole lot better shape than I've ever been in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, now, what you're going to see from this, in the beginning God, in the beginning light, in the beginning love, in the beginning life himself. Let's go now to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we're just going to take it verse by verse down through at least the 14th verse. And we're going to use what we've learned here so far. In the beginning was the Word. Aha. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, man. Look what this is saying. Listen to what it said. Listen to it with all your being. Run your spiritual antenna up and begin to glean from it. Feed your spirit from it. In the beginning was the Word. Now, I went to Atlanta yesterday, spent most of the day there. I went to the United States Penitentiary in Atlanta, Georgia, and I spent the day with Phil Driscoll. And I want you to know, Mr. Driscoll has not lost his tenderness. Mr. Driscoll has not lost his anointing. It is intact. Now, I won't get into all of it right now, but I will tell you this. He's not in the penitentiary because he did something wrong. What they accused him of was not illegal to start with, and the judge announced it in the trial that it was not illegal, and he apologized for not stopping it. And they sentenced him anyway, and they sentenced him to an illegal sentence. Well, now men get bitter over that. And it didn't just happen overnight. These same people that set out to destroy him, to destroy his family, and to destroy his ministry forever, started on him back there years ago. And everything they tried to do failed. But he had to fight them and fight them and fight them. And they're trying to destroy his ministry. They did destroy a big piece of it. But you can't get, you could get my airplanes, you could get my buildings, get all my property, get my home, get everything. He still didn't touch my ministry. My ministry is on the inside of me. But that's what Satan was after, was the ministry that's on the inside of him. And I'm here to report to you today, he didn't get it.
Amen.
Man, he still got the fire in his eyes. He's so tender. You start talking about God and he just begins to weep. And we sit right there in that day room, great, great big room, biggest from here all the way across to there. And just about that, it's just about the size of this platform area up here. And it's full of families and people, you know, visitation day, and it was full, and everybody's talking real loud in that one time, which meant we could preach it one night as loud as we wanted to.
Amen.
And we did. And there was some other prisoners that the Lord woke up to the fact that Phil was there, and they began to rally around him. God has started a move of God in that federal pen in Atlanta, Georgia. Praise God. One man walked up while I was sitting there, and he said, I want to say this in Brother Copeland's presence. He said, Phil Driscoll, just because you're here, this prison will never, ever be the same again, and it's an honor for me to know you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The devil might have managed to get him in prison, but he hadn't managed to get prison into him. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I brought him up because of something that Phil said to me yesterday, and it fits right in here. And he said it a little bit different way. What's really got to me. He said nothing happens between the realm of the spirit and the realm of the natural, and things manifesting. See, everything you need. Your perfect healed body. Your perfectly renewed mind. Everything that you ever needed beyond your wildest dream was set aside for you in heaven before the foundation of the world. And you should be, by faith, drawing it down into this manifested world. See? I got my heart and mind made up when this thing's over with. There's not going to be anything left on my table up there that was supposed to be used down here in this life and in this ministry. There ain't going to be a dollar left on that table. There's not going to be a healing left on that table. There's not going to be 1 ounce of strength left on that table that should have been down here. You understand where I stand right now with this and what I'm talking about? Well, Brother Copeland and I really realize that that's true, but what's the word on it? Well, that's simple. It's in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. For he has blessed us with all blessing. All blessing. All blessing. Where? In heavenly places. Ha. You sent a man and a husband to Atlanta, but you'll get an apostle back. Hallelujah. Well, we've been blessed with all blessing in heavenly places. I mean, that's beyond your imagination, man. That God has blessed you beyond your wildest dream you ever had. In heavenly places. Now, it's our business to draw it into earthly manifestation. Well, and Phil was talking to me about that, and we got to preaching it one another, and I'm telling you, the fire come up in his eyes, and he kept getting louder and louder and louder. And I mean, he and I cry 1 minute, shouting the next, and these other Christian guys began to gather around. We're getting people around the table, and there are people waving at us from across the day room. One woman hollered out and said, "I belong to Brother Creflo's church. I belong to Brother Creflo's church." There's another woman said, "I do too. I do too." Amen. Hallelujah. Man, and I'm telling you, them other cons is getting an earful, brother. I mean, that's the way it ought to be. Well, here's what Phil said to me. He said, "Kenneth, nothing ever happens to manifest from the spirit realm into the earthly realm until sound is applied to it." Sound has to be applied. And it's not just a noise. Sound can be a noise. But when sound is turned into word, now the sound is applied to a process that frames and forms the withdrawal notice from the earth that draws it from the realm of the spirit. Now, you can't help this. You're created like this. This whole universe was created this way. The spirit was hovering and moving on the face of the deep, correct? Doesn't the word say that? Nothing was happening. He was moving, but nothing was happening. Until God said... Let me ask you something. If God said, then Is that sound that filled those words any less God? Did it cease to be God because it turned into a noise? It wasn't a noise. It was a word. It wasn't a shout. He shouted it, but it wasn't just a shout. I mean, ah, that's a shout. And sometimes, particularly in the face of the devil, there may be just a shout come out of you. But when it comes out in the form of the power of God, I want you to know, it just knocks him a-winding, man. And that's where praise comes in. And of course, that's the anointing and the apostleship of Phil Driscoll. Well, if I was a devil, I'd put him in the penitentiary too. The idea being, by certain people in certain circles, if you can ever get these men of God in prison, if you can ever broadcast on them that they're crooks, particularly they're stealing money. Phil Driscoll never stole a dime in his life. But if you can make that kind of motion, see, everybody, it'll ruin his ministry and it won't nobody support him anymore. Well, that's their idea of ruining a man's ministry. But they just don't know us, do they?
Amen.
We don't quit that easy, and we don't dump people that easy. Praise God. I tell you what, I've been strong on Phil Driscoll since the day I met him, and that a long time ago. I've been strong on him, but I'm stronger on him today than I was before they snookered him into this prison thing. The only thing the devil managed to do is get a revival started in that penitentiary. Glory to God. Now, let me demonstrate something here to you. Now, are you still thinking? Your mind is still moving? I ain't got no idea what you're thinking right now. Most of you are thinking in line with what we've been talking about now for the last 35, 40 minutes. But not, that ain't necessarily so. Some of you may be sitting there thinking about whatever's happening at home. They ain't got a clue what I said, anything I'd said here this morning. But your attitude about that is going to change. Red! All of a sudden, everybody in here thought red. Suddenly, we're all on the same page. Suddenly, the color red has flashed across your mind. Isn't that amazing? You add sound to a word, and suddenly things change. Dog! Big dog! Big, black, curly-haired, old dog. Every word filled with sound changes the picture. Now you're having thoughts, but you're controlling them. They're not just bouncing around in there. You are actually controlling the thoughts that you are having. You are adjusting the picture in your mind according to the picture that those words are framing. Human beings are made this way. You know why? Because God's this way. And you are born of Him. No, you're not kind of like it. You are exactly like Him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with light, life, and love. And the Word was life. The Word was light. And the Word was love. The same. The Word, light, life, love. It's the same. All the same. All the same. All the same. So what's happening in these services? Light, life, love, God, by sound, invested by the Holy Spirit Himself as He anoints, as He directs, as He speaks. And we repeat His words and we speak His words filled with faith. Glory to God. This atmosphere is charged with the force that draws from heaven's bank and manifests in this earth in the form of the blessing of Abraham that's come on you and in you. Say amen, somebody. My Lord, man. My God. Hallelujah. The same was in the beginning with God. Same was in the beginning with love. Who is light? Who is life? All things were made by Him. All things were made by love. All things were made by light. All things were made by the Word that love, light, and life spoke and put sound in it. And the man that he created by word, love, compassion, light, Himself. Don't you remember He said, me, be? Well, that's what He said when He created Adam. Amen? Are you with me here now? All things were made by Him. And without Him, without the Word, was not anything made that was made. Without love, not anything made that was made. This man that God created, this man that love created, this man that light and life created, was never created for darkness. He was never created for sickness and disease. Compassion created Him. Compassion then blessed Him and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill up this earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Fill it up with what? Love, light, life, compassion. Have dominion over the earth. All life. Have dominion over it. With what? With words. Filled with life and love and compassion. Hallelujah. This place was not created to house sin and death. In an attempt to abort God in this earth. Well, it didn't work. It didn't work. There's another Adam came. And this one didn't mess it up. Amen. And you're born of Him. Any man that is in Christ Jesus, who is love, who is God, amen, is a new creature born of what? Say it yourself. You know what it is. Born of what? Born of God, born of life, born of love, born of, born of the Word. The Word is the contact point. This Word filled with faith-filled sound. Glory. Whoa! Now can you see why this Word is so vital and so important? Can you see now why these services are not just ho-hum, if I get enough sleep, if I feel all right, I might go to the morning service. I might wait till the afternoon service. How dare you? It don't make any difference how your flesh feels. You didn't come here to sleep. Man, I'm telling you, God is moving. His Word is life. His Word is light. His faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, love that never fails comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This Word is the most precious commodity on the face of this earth. It is filled with His wisdom. It is filled with His might. It is filled with His health. It is filled with His power. Bruce, let me ask you something. Did you earn your salvation? No, sir. How'd you get it? Yeah, by faith, and that is by what? Grace. Yeah, amen. Did you earn the baptism of the Holy Ghost? How'd you get that?
By grace.
By grace. Amen. Did you earn your healing? How'd you get that? Whatever gave you the idea you're supposed to earn your money? God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things. And the chapter just before that said, you have abounded in all these things, in faith, in utterance. You need to abound in this grace also, that he became poor, that you might become rich. And the man was receiving an offering when he said it. Amen. This is what made you and your family wealthy people, isn't it? What made me and my family wealthy people, I guarantee you, man. I'll tell you, when we showed up at ORU, we broke when we got there. I went to school without a dime in my pocket, man. I spent all I had in the gas tank getting to Tulsa. In that old wore-out car. That took a while. Couldn't drive the thing over about 40 miles an hour. That was before I had any kind of faith. I finally got charged up in faith, and I said, you can keep this thing together at 70, same as you can at 40, and just slammed it to it. But that day hadn't arrived yet. That's when the speed limit is 70. You know, 75 gets you in trouble. It makes a liar out of you. You signed a statement, an oath, when you got your driver's license. You'd obey the laws of the state that issued that license. So you break speed laws, and you're already out there outside of God. He can take care of you at 100 just same as he can at 20.
Yes, sir.
But not when you step over into that darkness. Ooh, I had to be retrained. Oh, Lord. Get that foot off that. Oh, Gloria said, you ain't happy unless you're doing Mach 2 with your hair on fire. Well, I don't know. I ain't never done Mach 2 yet, but I've almost done Mach 1. In fact, when I went to Atlanta yesterday, I looked down at my airspeed indicator, and I was at 0.91.
Praise God.
Only liked. That much. Make you want to just turn the autopilot out and just off and just dive it just a little bit. And just go through that sound barrier to see what, like, no, you can't do that. No. That takes some serious consequences if you're going to mess around like that. Man, I jerked my foot off the accelerator that day, and the Lord said, now I'll take care of you. But now you get out there and break laws of the land. I said, yes, sir. I drove that old doggy car. I come a whistling into Fort Worth and parked out there in front of my dad's house. And a friend of mine called me. I was at a preaching meeting here for Brother Harold and Lou Nichols sitting right up there. And he called me. He went to Brother Harold's church. He said, I believe the Lord wants me to tune up your car, Brother Copeland. I said, ooh, I don't doubt that. He said, just leave the keys in it, and I'll go by your dad's house and get it. I said, that's fine. Well, that night at church, of course, he still had the car. And that night at church, he said, did you drive that car in? I said, yeah, Jim, why? He said, I don't know how. He said, I had to get a wrecker and tow it over to the garage. I said, why, Jim? Wasn't that? He said, I took the distributor apart on that thing. And he said, the little steel thing there that's got the little carbon points on it? I said, yeah. He said, Kemp, they weren't worn down. They weren't there. That thing was slick. He said, that car won't run like that. I said, it's running good when I got it in there. I didn't say it to him. I just proved he ain't got no faith, you know. He could have driven it over there too, but no, I'm just kidding. It wasn't his place to do that. But God has taken care of it, you see. And he tuned her up. Man, I'm telling you, that old car just run, just sang, sounded good. I got top dollar for it when I sold it a few weeks later. $255. Cash. Kind of felt bad about it. I mean, I figured it was a little much. That's the one when I drove that car over to Brother Hagin's, and I didn't have any money, and I had to have those tapes. I mean, I had to have them, man. I'd heard one, and I was just absolutely just, I fell in love with the written word of the living God. I went over there and talked to his son-in-law, Buddy Harrison. I said, Buddy, I brought the title to my car, man. It's collateral. You just hold on to this, and I'll pay you every offering, every dollar I get, everything that God provided. And God will provide it, I guarantee. He said, that's all right, Kenneth. He said, I don't want to do that. He said, just take them. I know you're good for it. And he said later, he said, man, I didn't want that car sitting out there. He said, we preach prosperity, man. I didn't want that car sitting out in front of this ministry. Hallelujah. I don't have any idea what happened to that thing after that. I just said, well, bye. Amen. Praise God. Let's read on. All things were made by him, without the word, without life, without light, without love was not anything made that was made. In him, in God, in light, in love, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Oh, that statement is pregnant with revelation. Whew. Glory to God. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, did not understand it, could not see into it. What? I thought it was light. Looks to me like you could see into light. No, it'll blind you if your eyes are full of darkness. We are walking in the light, which is the secret place of the Most High God, who is light, who is life. Satan is darkness. He is death. He is fear. He has no faith. He has no anointing. He has no life. He has no light. He is darkness seeking. Seeking whom he may devour. But the light that you're living in is so bright. That's when Satan said those famous words. Where did he go? Where did he go? When men of darkness, church men full of darkness, set out to stone Jesus, the Bible said he hid himself and walked out from amongst them. He didn't go into darkness. He went into light so bright they couldn't comprehend it. They had no idea where he went. And just, I can just see him just smiling. He's standing there looking at them, you know, and they said, where did he go? Where did he go? And he's just walking down through. Glory to God. Larry, the best is yet to come, man. The explosion is at hand. An explosion of the anointing that is beyond anything that you've ever dreamed of. And it's what God told you in the very beginning of your life with him and in the beginning of your ministry. You hadn't lost one iota of it. Satan tried, but the dummy missed again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Something fine is in store very soon because your seed has exploded.
receive it.
You have sown and sown and sown and sown. Get your eyes on the Lord of the harvest. Get your eyes on the Lord of heaven and earth.
Receive it.
Amen.
Amen. I receive it.
Because it's here.
Yeah.
It's here.
I receive it.
It's here.
Amen. I receive it.
I could say that same thing to everybody in there. Tommy, it's here. It's here, man. It's here. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Brother Harold, you don't ever get too old for this. No. No, no. The biggest stuff of all is at hand. Amen. And you're just like me, Brother Harold. We married above ourselves. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. 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 Somebody shout glory at me. Glory. Can you see how precious these times are in this place? When Glory and I got a hold of the Word of God like this, in these same very scriptures that we're reading to you this morning, I want you to know the Word became so precious to us in 1958. I mean, God, we were just barely had money enough to pay our bills, but we were paying them, praise God. And 11 months from the day we registered at Oral Roberts University, which was in mid-January, or first part of January 1967, 11 months later, we were out of debt. And I don't know how God did that yet. Gloria said she married me in my notes.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. She stabbed me one night and said, you must have borrowed money on your tricycle to owe this much money, and you just not but 25 years old. Yeah, when we got married... Well, when we went to Oral Roberts University, we owed $24,000 in bad debts. $24,000 in 1967 was a whole bunch of money. That'd be like $100,000 now, or something like that. Amen. 11 months time, we were completely out of debt. And a whole lot of that time, Gloria and I never took out any of the ministry income for our own living. It wasn't because we are so righteous. I mean, we just believe in God and going on. It is that God's sending it in and we're using it to preach. And somehow or another, our needs got melted in all that.
Amen.
Amen. And then in the following year, 1968, we'd been in this ministry about 6.5 months. Brother Hagin announced that he's having 5 10-day seminars there in Tulsa, 2 services a day. Well, we was at every service. Every service of all 5 of those seminars. Now, the subjects in those 5 seminars became the original curriculum to Rhema Bible Training Center that didn't open up for another several years before that came into existence. But we'd already graduated.
All right.
Amen. Amen. We was an ever service band. I'm telling you, we had ever tape. I finally got my own tape recorder. Paid for. Yes, ma'am. And then I got 2 of them.
Right.
And I could hook them together and make tapes. Amen. And that's where the first tapes of our meetings came from. And we'd have a meeting for 3 or 4 weeks and come home. I had to make the tapes, 1 at a time. And I remember the first meeting, they bought 91 sets of tapes. Thank God I was young. I didn't sleep. I'm sitting there watching that tape recorder go around and around. I didn't have any duplicator. I didn't know there was a duplicator. There wasn't. Christians invented them. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're out of time here this morning. I want to read a couple more of these, and we'll just take it up here in another service. There was a man sent from love, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Now, we found out that God is light, and that's the message from the beginning. Well, God is love, and perfected love casteth out fear. Whew. Are we getting there? Amen. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, made by love, made by light, made by the Word, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Love came to His own, they didn't receive Him. Light came to His own, they didn't receive Him. Life came to His own, they didn't receive Him. But as many as received Him, as many as received the Word, as many as received the Word, say that loud, as many as received the Word, to them gave He the authority, the power to become the sons of love, the sons of light, the sons of the Creator Himself. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of the will of God, who is light, who is life, who is love, who is the Word. And His Word was the seed that turned you from darkness into the light of Himself. Oh! And the Word, say it, the Word, was made flesh and dwelled among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. But He's no longer the only begotten. Thank God. Love went to the cross. Love went into hell and defeated it. Love was raised from the death of hell and the grave. Love bore the curse and defeated it. Hallelujah. Love was raised from the dead and became the firstborn of many brethren. Oh, stand up and shout amen, somebody. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Father. Oh, Lord. Amen. Well, before Sister Gloria comes, let's receive our morning offering. Our very first offering of the convention always goes to our speakers. This is an opportunity for you and for us, for Gloria and me and for this ministry. This is an opportunity for you to sow your seed of faith towards every service, every hour, every day, every moment, in all of these meetings. Amen. This is your seed of light. When we were in Anaheim a few weeks ago, Gloria and I went over to see our spiritual father, Brother Oral Roberts. And I'll tell you what, he's just months away from being 90 years old. And he is so full of fire and life. We're sitting there talking to him. He can't talk 5 minutes without talking about seed faith. Glory to God. And he said, whoa, he said, and he just started preaching right there at the table to glory me, and the power and the anointing come on him. And his eyes began to fire with the Word, with the anointing of God. He said, now kids, now listen to me. He said, we've been spending too much time with our eyes on the seed. He said, this is what God's been talking to me. He said, I kept thinking every day I was going to die and go to heaven. But he said, God, keep talking to me. As long as He's talking to me, I got to preach it. And he said, here's what he said to me. He said, Oral, get your eyes off of the seed. He said, sow the seed, plant it in faith, but then turn immediately and get your eyes on the Lord of the harvest. Get your eyes on the Lord God of heaven and earth. He said, you be like one of them old cars that had that old stick shift. And he said, man alive, I mean, you put her in gear and jerk that clutch off and let her go. Hallelujah. And you run like a charger toward the Lord of the harvest. Keep your eye on the harvest. Talk about the harvest. Harvest is a happy time. Harvest is an explosive time. Harvest is a smiling time. Harvest is when you start talking about, woo, we're going to get this and we're going to get that and we're going to pay off these bills and we'll be out of debt here in just a few days. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I went over there to encourage him, and he preached me happy before I could get out of the house. Hallelujah. Oh, we had such prayer together. God is on the move. The Lord of the harvest is on the move. And this is a time for you to sow that seed and then look towards harvest every service. Every service. If you have to get up and you're feeling tired, sow the tiredness as another seed. I mean, say, glory to God. I'm going to sow that extra hour of sleep, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to pray an hour here for the convention. I'm going to enter into prayer. Maybe you come on over early, and you get with the prayer team, and you get in here, and you begin to pray and believe God. You're just sowing and harvesting, and you come in there, and somebody says, open your Bible, and say, oh, glory to God, here come my harvest. Here comes my harvest. My ears are open. My eyes are open. My seed is growing in the ground. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Amen. Father, we pray over our offering this morning as you reveal to people their role to play. Reveal to them their seed. Reveal to them what you would have them do. And we receive it and we release the blessing in their behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you need an envelope for your giving, raise your hands. Ushers will wait on you. Ushers, after you pass out your envelopes, go ahead and wait on the people. They'll be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Oh, my, my, my. I don't know. I believe you've sensed this as well. But this Monday morning service has started off on a spiritual level that's a cut above any of the rest of them I've ever been in. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Is that pretty little girl marking herself back there? Yeah, there she is. Praise the Lord.
I'm not here, but
I'm here. Huh?
I said that pretty girl's not here, but I'm here. Well, I do.
I hear you. I dare you talk like that against my favorite preacher. No. Not to you.
Oh, come on.
I was just kidding.
Gorgeous.
You're handsome.
Beautiful.
I think you look unusually handsome today.
Thank you very much.
My, you're so trim and handsome and tanned. And
I love it.
Makes my
talk
heart
on,
melt.
Girl, talk on. What do you want? What can I do for you?
I'll be thinking on that. Love you. That was good. Good.
Thank you,
sweetie. Hallelujah. Hello, everybody. Praise God. We are off to a great start. Want to welcome everybody that's on the internet. You know, in Anaheim, we had over 20,000 people watching on the internet. I think that might be, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it might be the first time we had more people on the internet than we did in the meeting. Isn't that great? And so we welcome everybody. Just think they can be watching everything we do all over the world. Isn't that amazing? You know, we thought it was such a big deal when we had the World Communion Service. And we connected by satellite with everybody, with a lot of people around the world. But now that's just old stuff. Isn't that amazing? The things that God has done in our lifetime to preach the Word of God. We welcome you today, and we're glad you're here. We're very expectant. I think Ken's right. We're off to a mighty fine start. Hallelujah. And we're glad you're here on Monday. You know, to get the benefit of the convention, you should be here from Monday through Saturday night. I've been to a lot of them. I've never missed a convention. You never come out the same way you went in. You always come out of a convention higher, with more faith, more ready to walk in love, more ready to obey God. God is really, really good to us. So we'll just wait until we get our offering. And I'll see if I can think of anything new to tell you. Let's see. Well, I know some things, but I guess I won't tell that. No, I'm just kidding. I usually just, whatever I know just comes out somehow. But we are excited about this week. I believe Jesus is coming soon. I'm amazed at what's going on all over the world where the gospel's concerned. Hundreds of, I guess maybe even thousands of churches being started in different parts of the world every day and every week. And you just hear such dynamic reports. God is moving. If this is your first convention, I want to especially welcome you and tell you that if you'll get in the meetings, you'll not go home the same way you came. The entrance, we've been hearing about light, the entrance of God's Word gives light, brings light, gives light. And the more you know about God, the freer your life becomes. And the more blessing you open up for. The more you know about God, the more you flow with Him, the more blessing you let into your life. That light, that Word that Ken's been talking about, that brings us light. And light brings faith in God. And faith will overcome anything. You might say, well, you don't know where I am. You don't know where I've been. It doesn't matter where you are or where you've been. The Word of God will go into your heart. It will renew your mind. And if you'll walk in the light of it, it'll change your whole life. As I heard Ken giving testimony of our early life and in faith. You know, we just started going up when we found out about the Word of God. And the more we found out, the more high we got. And we're still going up. I mean, I'll know more and I'll be more accurate and I'll be more blessed and more prosperous at the end of this week than I am today. If you don't like to be prosperous, well, you know, you don't have to bother with it, but I find it far above being without and in lack and in debt and under the curse and sick. God is a good God. We're believing for miracles. I want you to especially this week believe for the miraculous to happen. We always have lots of healings and we have miracles, but I'm talking about outstanding things happening just instantly, if we would all get an agreement on that for healing, and we don't have to wait till Saturday. We'll have healing all week long. We'll have deliverance all week long. We'll have miracles all week long. Let's get into that miracle flow. How do you do it? You do it by believing God, believing you receive the blessing of God's manifested presence in this place. Hallelujah. I want to pray today before I begin. Father, we love you. We honor you. Thank you for every person that's here. I pray for every person, Lord, that their ears be open, that their eyes be attentive to the Word of God, that revelation, insight, deliverance come by the Word of God this week. Healing come by the Word of God this week. Thank you for increasing us in every way, increasing our faith, increasing our love, increasing our accuracy to walk with you. Father, we just open up our hearts and we set ourselves to be corrected. It's a marvelous privilege to be corrected. Anywhere that you need to talk to us, any place the light of the Word of God needs to shine upon our hearts or upon our words or upon our actions, we open ourselves up to be corrected. We count it an honor and a privilege. We expect to grow this week. We're here to hear and then do what the Bible says. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name for all the good things that come. You are the healer, Jesus. You're the deliverer. You're the Savior. And we honor you. And we thank you in Jesus' name for all that is done. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk to you this week about the prosperous life. And we're going to start today the part about the prosperous soul, which is the first step of the prosperous life is walking in truth. Now, if you don't know what the truth is, you can't walk in it. You're not born with that knowledge. You don't grow up with that knowledge unless you get it from the Word of God. Your parents may be walking in truth, but if you haven't put the Word in your eyes and in your ears and out your mouth, it's not working in your life. And you may be brand new. You may be like I was. My parents didn't know anything about God, and they just never had heard. I mean, this was the olden days. You didn't have it on television. Brother Roberts was on television. Rex Humbard was on television. And that was just about it. And as I recall, my grandmother told me when she saw Oral Roberts that he pays people to say they're healed. I was just a little girl, and I thought, I wonder what he pays them. $5 maybe? So that's the kind of enlightenment we had at our house. But we didn't stay that way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Word of God. I married Ken, and when I married Ken, I married his mother's prayers because she thought I was just another disaster in his life. And when she found out about me, she doubled up on her praying for him. And I'm glad she did. Because shortly, as you probably heard this morning, I didn't get to hear all the message, but he probably told you about how shortly after we were married, we were born again. If you're here today and you don't know about born again, you've never been born again, you just thought, well, that's just something Christians say, it's a real thing that happens. It's an event. It is an event. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, he comes in and you are changed on the inside. And that old man dies. That old man of sin and death dies. And you become born again, a new creature in God. Hallelujah. A new creature in Christ Jesus. And then you can get filled with the Holy Spirit, which was another great milestone. We never really went very far in Christianity and in our Christian life until we were filled with the Spirit, because he's the teacher. If you're here and you've been born again, but you're not sure about being filled with the Spirit, well, I can tell you, you can be sure. You'll never go far in spiritual things without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then as the Spirit of God comes in, he's the teacher. Well, he doesn't just give you revelation while you sleep normally. It's when you go to the Word of God and you put that Word in your eyes. Let it go in your ears, and it becomes light on the inside of you and becomes faith on the inside of you. So wherever you are, at whatever level, you may just be here because you're desperate, because you want to be delivered of certain things or be healed or whatever, but do it right. And it starts with a prosperous soul. You start, first of all, by giving yourself to him, making Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior. And then you give him time and attention. You listen to people that know the Word and teach the Word of God. And you read your own Bible and you begin to act on it. You'll be amazed at how quickly you can change. Just between now and, say, this time next year, your life could be an entirely different victory, just total victory. It's how much we do. It's how much place we give God. That's how much place he takes in our lives. And so it's a good thing to come. You can grow fast and you can increase a lot in a convention. And I'm glad you're here. We're going to talk about the prosperous life. And there are seven things that I have taken from the Word. I'll read those seven things to you and then we'll begin our study. The first one is seven things that bring increase are walking in truth. You have to know what the Bible says in order to believe it. If you don't know what it says, you can't believe it. If you can't believe it, there's no faith. If there's no faith, there's no move of God. And then it says, the second one is faithfulness. The Bible says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. So there's more to it than being born again. More to it even than being born again and filled with the Spirit. Now you've got to walk it out. You've got to be led by the Spirit. You've got to be faithful in what God says for you to do through the Word, what He says for you to do in your individual calling. The third thing is diligence. It takes diligence to prosper spiritually. It takes diligence to prosper in the natural. Unless you're born into a wealthy family. If you're born into a wealthy family, then whoever got the wealth had to be diligent. However far that goes back. That was never my problem, so I don't know too much about that, but I think that's right. So diligence. It takes diligence. You have to want to grow in God. You have to give God place. The more you want to, however much faith and strength and power you want to walk in, that's how much you've got to give God your attention. And then the fourth thing is tithing. If you want to prosper, you've got to learn how to be responsible with your money. And if you're going to prosper in the Spirit, you've got to get God involved in it. You know, God is a good businessman. You can learn good principles of business by learning what God says. He knows how to prosper Himself. And when you become His partner, and you're honoring Him like He says in His Word with the portion, the top portion of your income, 10% of your income, then He gets involved in your finances in an unusual way. We'll talk about that. And then the fifth thing is sowing. You give and it's given to you. The sixth thing is believing. And the seventh thing is saying. Believing and saying are the keys to changing individual situations in your life. You hear that a lot, but the reason is that's the way faith works. You believe, you see it in the Word of God. You receive it into your eyes, into your ears, into your heart. You begin to act like it's true because it is true. And good things begin to happen. Today, we're going to talk about walking in truth, or we're going to talk about, we could call it the prosperous soul. The prosperous soul is the key ingredient to the prosperous life. An ignorant soul is not prosperous in God. If you don't know about God, you don't know what He says, you don't pay any attention to Him, don't think about Him, don't let Him tell you what to do from the Word of God, your soul cannot prosper. So let's look at 3 John. We're going to read quite a lot of Scripture today, and I'm going to read some in the Amplified and some in the King James. 3 John, the prosperous soul. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Now your soul, the spirit is a part of you that got born again, but I'm telling you, there are ignorant people that are born again all over the world that don't know beans about how to walk with God. Because they've never gone to the Word. They could know, but they've never spent the time in the Word. You won't know either unless you give some time to God's Word. So the prosperous soul, you are a spirit, you have a soul. That soul has to be taught the Word of God. Your mind, your will, and your emotions are in your soul. That's where you make you hear from the Spirit, but if the soul doesn't get it, the right decisions aren't made, because that's the thing between the spirit and the body, your soul, a prosperous soul. Okay, let's look at 3 John 2 through 4. Beloved, I wish above all things, or the margin says, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper. This is verse 2. Prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now that's the way you prosper out here in the natural realm, in your finances, in your body, in your family, is according to what your soul does. So soul prosperity is a vital foundation of the prosperous life. You can't prosper in God. You can prosper in the world, but you can't prosper in God without knowing what He says and doing it. And besides that, who would want to? The world can prosper you in money, but the world can't prosper you in divine health and longevity, long life, strong life. The world has its limits. Hallelujah. And a lot of times prosperity, what does the Bible say? Prosperity ruineth a fool. How do you keep from being a fool? You find out what God says, you believe it and act on it. That's about the only way. And so it all fits together. It all works together. I wish, or I pray, above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions are the first thing that has to prosper in order to walk in divine prosperity. Divine prosperity has everything good in it, nothing missing, nothing broken. You can be rich and miserable. You can be poor and miserable. But if you know God, you'll neither be poor, and you act on the word, you'll neither be poor or miserable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you, just as a testimony to the others, there are a lot of people new. How many of you, Ken may have asked this, I don't know. How many of you here for the first, this is your first convention. Let me see your hand. Lots of people. Hallelujah. Welcome. Well, we are glad you're here, and you're going to be glad because this is a place to grow. And if you'll listen to the Word of God, you'll prosper in your spirit, in your body, in your soul, and in your finances. You'll learn how to move and to change. Many of you are here, and you've been watching on internet, and you've been listening to the CDs and the all the things that we preach the Word, the books, and so on. And that's how you grow. And you know, you never quit that. Now, I've been here a long time. I've never missed a convention. And I'm still studying. I still spend time in the Word. I still have to keep the Word going in my ears and in my eyes in order to stay straight, to walk in love. You know how Ken and I live together? By the Word of God. The same way you and your husband live together, by the Word of God. And you know, it's good. We walk in peace, we walk in love, and we have a lovely marriage. And you can have one too. But it's by the Word of God. Everything good, how do we keep well? By the Word of God. How do we prosper in finances? By the Word of God. How do we have a good family and everybody intact, everybody serving the Lord? By the Word of God. Every good thing that you could have in this life comes by the Word of God. Hallelujah. So it's God's will for us to prosper even as our soul prospers. Now let's look at, for instance, let's look at James 1:27. Well, I'll save that one. I'll read it now, but it's talking about walking in the light as he is in the light. Of course, you know, James 1 is a powerful chapter. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, in verse 5, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. To all liberally. So what we need to walk out this life is wisdom from God. This Bible is full of the wisdom from God. It's what he said to men down through the ages about himself and what they're to do. He talked to Abraham. He told him exactly what to do. We can learn from Abraham how to walk by faith. He talked to Moses. He told him exactly what to do. We can learn about God and what to do by finding out what he talked to Moses. And so as we ask of God, he gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. He gives wisdom. It shall be given to him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And then in this verse in James, 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows, or to do good to others in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world, or to keep yourself set apart from the world. We can't live like the world and live in the power of God. It can't be done. The way you live in the power of God is you quit living like the world and you begin to live like He says. And you can't have it both ways, and who wants it both ways? The world's crazy anyway. Are they not? And you don't want to follow the world, but you're either going to be like the world or you're going to be like God. Because if you don't know, how can you do? And so it's God's, that's part of a prosperous soul. The prosperous soul is so important because that's where your will is. That's where the renewing of the mind is that comes by the Word of God. Glory to God. And it's where healing is. Everything that God has for us has to do with the prosperous soul. How can you have faith for healing? There's just lots and lots, thousands, maybe probably millions of Christians that are actually born again, but they don't have faith for healing because their soul hasn't been prospered from the Bible in that area. I didn't have faith for healing before I found out about what God says about it. That's how faith comes. Are there millions of Christians who aren't prospering in their finances because they haven't seen the Word of God concerning prosperity? And lots of preachers preach poverty. Sad to say, a lot of preachers preach poverty because that's what they've been preached to. But your soul has to prosper in every area. You can learn how to prosper in the finances and not know how to prosper in the health of your body. Every area has to be prospered by the Word of God concerning that thing. Amen? So there's not any problems that you can have that you can't find Scriptures and the will of God that will overcome it. Hallelujah. But you have to look for it. It takes time. And doing what you're doing today, probably you came here and your friends and maybe people at work thought, he must be some kind of a nut. He's going to a church on his vacation. Well, to the world, we are some kind of a nut, but we're prosperous nuts. And we're healed nuts. And we're happy nuts. And we're joyful nuts. Hallelujah. It's just because it's so far out. They think about going to some place, some tropical place, and drinking pina coladas or something, you know. No, our soul is prosperous. And so we're here doing a prosperous thing. This meeting can affect your whole life, your whole the year, and then your whole life. Why? Because of the Word of God. We don't have people preach here that don't preach the Word of God. Everybody here, they love the Word. Everybody that teaches here loves the Word. Hallelujah. They're the ones Ken and I want to hear preach. You think I'm going to invite somebody to the meeting I don't want to hear them? No, I want to be fed. Hallelujah. There's lots of others that aren't in the meetings that I enjoy listening to, too. But we've got good people to teach us the Word. And we're going to grow this week. Just make up your mind to be in every meeting that you can. You'll be surprised how little sleep you can get by on in a convention. Because your spirit's up. You'll wake up in the morning and think, I'm not sleeping in the day. I'm going to the meeting. I mean, the Word of God and hearing the Word preached, that'll affect your whole life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the prosperous soul, let's look at James. I looked at James 1:27. And let's look at that. I want to read that in the Amplified Bible. There's a word in there I want you to get. James 1:27. Let's see if this is it. 18. Let's start at 18. And it was, well, let's look at 17. This is Amplified. Every good gift and every perfect gift, free, large, full, would be the definition of perfect, gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all light, in the shining of whom there can be no variation, rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning as in eclipse. In other words, there's no darkness in him. And it was of his own free will that he gave us birth as sons by his word of truth. So we're born again by the word of truth, so that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, a sample of what he created to be consecrated unto himself. Understand this, my beloved. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. For a man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes. So get rid of all uncleanness, the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the Word of God. The Word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's where you decide things. It's where you make your decisions. You give the final decision. Your spirit can be telling you one thing from God, but you can ignore it in your soul and not act on it, so it's as good as not having heard it, or maybe worse. But be doers of the word, not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Be doers. We have to do what we see in the word. For if anyone listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he's like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, for he thoroughly observes himself and then goes off promptly, forgets what he was like. So you could sit here all week, go home and forget what you've heard, and it'll do you no good. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful, which is one of the steps of a prosperous life, faithful to it and perseveres. This is the word I'm looking for today. Perseveres in looking into it. He perseveres. Now, I'm telling you, you don't get it because you've heard it once. You can start because you've heard it once. But you keep going over the word and over the word and over the word and renewing your mind. Why is that? Because you're bombarded with unbelief out here on the outside when you go to work, sometimes when you go to church, if you go to the wrong places, and which I don't go to an unbelieving church. Well, my grandmother was there. She helped build the church. Well, where is grandmother now? Check her out. She might be dead. She might be sick. She might be broke. But regardless of where she is, if she didn't get anything by the word of God, it's possible that, you know, she may not even been born again. Or if she was born again, she could have lived in defeat all of her life. And so this says we have to persevere, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. He shall be blessed in his doing, parenthesis, his life obedience. We're blessed in our life of obedience. The blessing is in doing what's in the Word of God. That's so wonderful that every person has equal opportunity with God. I don't care where you are, who you are, if you've been in prison, if you're in prison now, or what else your past could have been. If you never had any advantages in life, you raised up in a family that had no advantages, you've been poor all your life, you can prosper in God. You can prosper in the natural things of life. You can prosper in the spirit. Hallelujah. So persevere. I just want to encourage you that if you haven't been getting the results that you want to get, keep doing this one thing. Persevere. Stay with it. You don't learn. You know, you could have been. I was 19 when I got born again, and I was probably 24 when I began to hear the truth of the Word of God. And then it took me a while to get it in my eyes, in my ears, and in abundance, the Word in abundance in my heart. The Word that's in there in abundance is the Word that talks to you. And it took a while. I mean, we didn't just snap out of it overnight. We didn't get our bills paid overnight. We didn't get out of debt overnight, but we did get out of debt within a year. And it was probably, if nothing had happened to us, like the Word of God had not ever come across our paths, there's no telling how much money Ken and I would owe today. We would have borrowed money on everything that moves. And we might have nothing left but because we couldn't make the payments. But thank God, we didn't get out overnight. We didn't learn how to lay hold of healing overnight, but we did get out in prosperity. We did learn how to receive our healing. We did learn how to walk in the blessing of God. We're still learning. We're still growing. Can't you tell that Ken's excited about the Word of God? You know how long he's been studying the Word? A long time. We've been in the ministry 40 years, so it's been longer than that. And we're still excited about it because we still see new things in it. It's still doing miracles and wonders in our lives. We're still living by it, healed by it, prosper by it. So you have to persevere. Think about it now. If this is like your first meeting, you're just now learning how to walk in the Word. Think about how long you've been practicing the opposite of what the Word of God says. If you've been out in the world, you've been living in the opposite of what God says. And what happens in between victory and just beginning to learn is your mind gets renewed. The renewing of your soul, your mind, your will, your mind gets renewed. You begin to think and agree with God, and then your will gets in line, and you begin to will what God says instead of what the world says or what you want to do in the natural. You begin to let the Word change you, and then it just begins to work in your lives. So it takes a little while sometimes to get everything in order, and you never get to coast. I mean, there's always things that you have to believe God about. You have to come up over. People will see to that. So you never get to coast, but you can always win. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you persevere. You don't quit. Yeah, I meant to get a good definition on persevere, but I didn't do it. So I'm just going to say you don't quit. You keep on. You keep doing the right thing. Your husband or your wife, if he's an unbeliever, she's an unbeliever, they might say to you, this is not working. This is not working. I told you there wasn't anything to all that stuff. Your family might say to you, I told you there wasn't anything to all that stuff. Look at you. It's not working. I'm telling you, that's the time to rise up and say, it's working. It's working. I don't care if we argue with them or not. You don't have to tell them that. But on the inside of you, you get up on the inside and you say, it's working for me. They just don't know it, but it's working. The Word of God always works when it's put to work. Glory. So we persevere in the things of life. We persevere in looking into the law of liberty and be faithful to it. We continue to look into it and continue to look into it. We become, as the Amplified says, an active doer, not a listener who forgets, but an active doer. And the result is, according to the Word of God, he shall be blessed. Didn't say he might be. It says he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. So the Word of God, if we'll persevere, if we'll stay with it, it'll bring deliverance into our lives. It'll bring healing into your body. It'll renew your mind and teach you to think straight, and it'll teach you to speak straight. You not only have to have it in your heart, but we'll find out, and you know this because this is the key to faith, you're going to have to say it out your mouth. And if you really want results and quickly, you're going to have to say what you want to come to pass and nothing else. I think that's where most word people fail, is they get under pressure and they quit persevering and they begin to talk the problem. I mean, I've been at it a long time, and under pressure, I still have to jerk the slack out of myself and not say what it looks like, or not say what it feels like, or not say what The devil's trying to get you to take on. But you just have to come to grips with it. I'm going to say according to the Word of God. Now that is part of walking by faith. And it's like the finishing touch to faith. But if you're going to believe God, and then you're going to keep going and saying unbelief and saying you don't have what you prayed for, you're not going to get anything supernaturally. Unless somebody else somehow manages to believe for you or something. But there comes a point where you have to do your own believing. And so you have to come to grips with that, and you have to persevere. You have to persevere with your words. And you can't keep your words straight without keeping your eyes straight. Why is that? Because your eyes get on the Word of God and your ears, and it gets down into your heart, and out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Now, if you've got financial problems, I'm telling you that problem is talking to you night and day. It's the first thing you hear when you wake up in the morning, last thing you think about at night, if you're just operating in the natural. It comes out of your mouth all the time if you're operating in the natural. What are we going to do? We owe this bill. They're going to come get our house. They're going to come get our house. They're going to come get our house. You just say it. They're going to come get our house. Hi, Aunt Sue. How are you? Oh, they're going to come get our house. Hi, cousin buddy. How are you? Well, they're going to come get our house. Tell me if that's not right. So, you have to persevere in every one of these things that we talk about, and you can't quit. This is only if you want to live in victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And faith is believing and saying what God says. Hallelujah. Preach myself happy. So we persevere. Look at Ephesians. And what I really was trying to get to this morning was about living a life of obedience. And I've sort of gone around by Laura's house, but here's the scripture, as we say. Ephesians 5. You know, you're going to have to live up to the Word of God. You can't just act. You just can't pray. You can't even just say the Word of God and not obey God and expect results. No, you have to act on what it says. The prosperous soul enables you to act on the Word of God. So we're looking at the value of the prosperous soul. Let's look at Ephesians 5:27. The prosperous soul is the starting place. And it's good that you can just start where you are and keep going. I mean, you don't have to go to school for a year or two before your faith starts working. It can start working today. Just as soon as you act on the Word of God and keep acting on it, if you make a mistake, what do? You repent and you get right back on it. This says that he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church. Well, I like this first part. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, or set it apart, cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. That means you actually obey the Word of God. Some people want to walk by faith and they want to prosper, but they want to keep living in the devil's world. You can't do that. And I think the church is full of souls that aren't prospering, and so their actions aren't prospering. You can't expect to be blessed and walk in the Spirit, walk in the supernatural, if you're going to hang on to sin. Now, I know that we are in an hour and a day where the world thinks very little. They don't even think about sin. They think if it's fun, you can do it. And they push that. And you see that all the time in movies, on television, and novels, whatever it is that the world's voice is in, they push sin because that's all they know. But this says the church should live holy and without blemish. So you can't Not only can you not talk like the world, you can't act like the world if you want to walk in the blessing of God. And really, when you get down to it, when you think about most of, I mean, everything the world lives for that's evil brings death. I was noticing the other day, every once in a while I get on this kick about adultery, but I'm actually shocked at the adultery that's in the church. And I know I just hear about a little bit of it, but it's way too much that I hear about. I realized the other day that about the first 7 or 8 chapters in Proverbs and walking in wisdom has to do with adultery. It's amazing how much is in the book of Proverbs about adultery. The Bible says that adultery brings death. I mean, you can see it, David. You can see it in David's life. You can see it in different places. And I think it's Proverbs 6, but I'm not sure about that. That it over and over in the book of Proverbs ties adultery to death. So, you know, the world thinks nothing about adultery. That's in the movies all the time. That's on the television all the time. They act like it's just something that is acceptable and everybody does it. Everybody doesn't commit adultery. But a lot of people do. But it has some very, very terrible results. Now, people, I'm just sure that there's people here today that are in adultery. Or probably the Lord wouldn't have brought it up, because I'd have just as soon have skipped it. But if you're in that situation, you repent. You repent as quick as you can. You repent and you get out of it. It can affect your whole family. It can affect the lives of your children. Repent and get out of it. And that's the way it is with so many things in this culture. And because it's just like, who pays the attention to adultery? Well, sometimes if you're running for president, they bring it up. But normally, you just don't think much about it. Oh, yeah, he had an affair, she had an affair. Listen, it's deadly, and you don't want it in your life. Now, that's a word to those who need it. And you just get rid of it right now. You shut the door on it. It can affect the lives of your children. Stop it. But that's just one area where, you know, the world's ideas of things can contaminate you. You can't feed on the junk of the world and it not get into you. Watch what you listen to. You know what it says? You know, now, you know, I've been around a while. Ken, I've been around a while. You used to didn't curse in front of women. Even if men curse, they were gentlemen enough not to curse in front of a woman. And you can go in a restaurant now and you can just sit down at a table next to somebody and every other word's a curse word. I mean, some people don't have any vocabulary when you think about it. All they know how to express themselves is with a curse word. Let me tell you one scripture, and I don't know where it is right now, but maybe I'll tell you before the end of the week. It says, there's a scripture that says, he loved cursing. Let him wear it like a garment. You fill your mouth with curse words, and the Bible says you can just wear it. Think about that. That's awesome, isn't it? When you think about all the things that cursing does and says. He loved cursing, let him wear it as a garment. So it's serious what you say with your mouth. And if you may be working around people that talk that way, I'd try to move out if I were you just so you didn't have to hear it. But even if you have to stay there, you don't have to listen, you don't have to participate, you don't have to hang out. It's serious. These things are serious. What you say with your mouth is serious. Hallelujah. It comes to pass in your life. So this is part of what I'm trying to say with the prosperous soul is you get your soul renewed by the Word of God and you let it change you. Let it change the way you talk. Let it change the areas in your life that are not right or that missing it in. Let the Word of God renew your mind, your soul, your will, and your emotions to where you do and say what God says. You can be surrounded by ungodly people, but you don't have to participate. I try to avoid a situation where it was just totally ungodly because it's so much trouble to try to keep yourself straight in the midst of a lot of junk. And we have to stay unspotted, uncontaminated by the world if we want to walk in victory. Now, I'm not talking about going to heaven. You can get away with a lot of things and still you're a believer. You've made Jesus the Lord of your life. And I believe you can go to heaven when you die and miss hell. But you can't miss hell here and live that way. If you're going to live a two-faced life and you're going to follow after the devil, you're going to have a miserable existence here and this earth for sure. So you can't have it two ways. You're so prosperous on the Word of God. You feed yourself with the Word until you are convinced in that every area, whatever area it is, that God's will is done. It's His will for you. You let the Spirit of God, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher of the church. He'll correct you. He'll help you. He'll enlighten. He'll cause those words in the Bible to jump up and come into you with force. And you'll see, oh, I see that. I should not be doing that. I see that, Lord. I'll correct myself right now. I'll correct myself. We're going to talk about, before we get through, of course, walking in love. That's our commandment. I'm continually corrected about walking in love. You're not walking in love. That wasn't lovely. So what do you do? Well, you repent. You apologize if you feel you should. But, you know, you have to keep that word going in and you have to keep moving with it. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but persevere in obeying what the Word of God says. And you can come to a place where you have such a lovely life. Ken and I are enjoying life more than we ever have in our whole lives. Life is good, hallelujah, because we're doing everything we can to walk on the Word of God. And we spend time in the Word. I spend time in the Word. Ken spends time in the Word. Between meetings, we don't just, you know, get the Word out. Oh, yeah, oh, I got a meeting tomorrow. I better find some Word. No, you live by the Word of God. You live on the Word of God. And you keep your faith strong. And when bad things do come your way, you're strong, you're ready. You've persevered. You've obeyed God. You've kept yourself unspotted. And if you've gotten spotted, you've repented and made it right. It's a wonderful life to be free. You'll know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, we're just starting off today and we are already high. Hallelujah. There's not any drugs that can do what the Word of God can do. Amen. So we persevere. We keep ourselves unspotted. If we make a mistake, we repent. We walk in love. Look at Proverbs 2, 1 through 9. About the wisdom of God, the Word of God. I love the Word, and I love Proverbs. Oh, you can just learn so much about how to do and what to do in plain old black and white from Proverbs. I don't know which translation I want here, but let's see it. Proverbs 2, 1 through 9. My son, if you will receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine ear, apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. See, you've got to be hungry for the Word of God. and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek knowledge and wisdom, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then. So the Bible says, and I meant to give the scripture this morning about the scripture about seeking. What does Matthew say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or his way of doing and being right, and all these other things shall be added unto you. That is the way to prosper. You seek first, I was reading a book by a rabbi, and he said, talking about seeking, the Old Testament talks about seeking a lot, lots and lots. And he said the best way to explain the Hebrew word for seek is research. Research first, you could say, the kingdom of God. What do you do in research? Well, you go over it and over it and over it. You keep going. You keep seeking knowledge and understanding. You research the word. You research the word. You research the word. That's why I'm happy today, because I've researched the word for a long time. And every day is better than the day before. I'm telling you, you can have heaven, days of heaven on earth. So it says, seek her, seek wisdom as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures. So I'm continually doing research on the Word of God. I'm continually seeking the Word of God, and you are too, or you should be. Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes understanding, comes knowledge and understanding. Where did we get this Bible? It came out of the mouth of God, and holy men of old wrote it down for us. They heard it. They preserved it. It's God talking. The Lord gives wisdom. And out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler or shield to them that walk uprightly. Hallelujah. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the ways of his saints, or his favored ones. That's a description or a definition. His set apart ones. Are his favored ones. Hallelujah. Don't you like to be favored of God? He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his favored ones. Then you shall understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yes, every good path. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love the book of Proverbs. I mean, if you've not spent much time in the book of Proverbs, you need to do it. You can get so many things straightened out in your life. They're the wisdom of God written down in plain, understandable words. It doesn't take a lot of revelation working to understand Proverbs, because it just tells you in black and white. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. You can start living on the book of Proverbs after you make Jesus the Lord of your life and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You could start obeying the book of Proverbs. Everything in your life would get in line. Why? Because it's the wisdom of God written down for us. And it is so rich. I never get tired of the book of Proverbs. It always ministers to me. I'm continually corrected by it, and I recommend it. Now, let's look at Matthew 6:33. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Bible. This is a familiar scripture. I quoted it a while ago, but let's look at it. Verse 31, it says, "It just talk to people, O you of little faith." And now it's telling what it, in the verse 30, and it's saying what to do now. If you have little faith, this is the answer. Do not worry. Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? Don't worry. The Bible says, therefore, do not worry. I won't ask you for a show of hands. But I could say, how many of you are worried about something today? And you might be embarrassed. I don't know. I'm not going to do that. But you know. Therefore, do not worry. It just says don't worry. What good does worry do? I used to be great at worrying. Man, I was so good. I could worry. I could just worry and worry. And, you know, nothing good happened. Now I believe, have peace, everything good happens. Therefore, do not worry and be anxious. This is Jesus talking, saying, what are we going to have to eat? What are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? Now, if you're worried today, you came here worried, you've got distress in your life, sickness in your body, you're being foreclosed on, you're near bankruptcy, or whatever it is, your children are wild and crazy, whatever it is, this says, do not worry. Now, you just set aside every worried thought for this week, at least. Every time a worried thought comes to you, you just say, Jesus will take care of it. All week long, every time a worried thought comes to you, just say, Jesus will take care of it, and I'll know what to do. Or say something like, thank you, Lord, for taking care of it. Thank you for showing me what to do about that. I roll all of my care over on you. What does the Bible say? Roll your care over on the Lord and be obedient to Him, and He shall cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will. Roll your care over on the Lord. I roll it over on you, Lord. You tell me what to do about it. I don't know what to do about it. I'm rolling it on you. I'm not worrying. I'm not worrying about it. I'm believing you. So switch gears. You know one thing Brother Roberts told us the other day about finances? He's talking about people sow they should sow and then forget their seed and start thinking about harvest. You remember your seed. You know your seed's been... it's been planted, but you get your mind and your words and your thoughts on the harvest. Harvest. He said, they don't switch gears. They sow, but they don't switch over to harvest. Glory to God, I got that. Now that's what I'm telling you to do about worrying or situations. Switch over to the answer. Switch over. When worried thoughts come to you, switch over to the answer. Switch over to what the Word says about it. That's the thing that you do with worried thoughts. You replace those thoughts with the Word of God. Now, you just try that this week, and you'll want to keep doing it. The Gentiles, don't worry about it. They say, don't worry, be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat, drink, wear? For the Gentiles or the heathen or those in the world without God wish for, crave, and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them. But here's what you do. You seek. You could say you research. Keep researching the Word of God. You seek, first of all, His kingdom, His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So what do under pressure? We seek God. We research the Word. We see what God's Word says about the situation. We see what His way of doing and being right is. Verse 34 says, so do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow. So, does the Bible say do not worry? It says do not worry. So what does that mean to us? That means we do not worry. We've rolled all of our care over on the Lord, for He cares for us. We get our mind on God and what His Word says and what He's promised and what we expect. We get our mind on the harvest of our prayers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, it works. You'll come out of here in victory. Do not worry. Now, I keep trying to talk about the prosperous soul. Let's look at John 17. The prosperous soul thinks about what God says. Verse 17 says, in Verse 13, I guess. Let me see where I want to start. Jesus is praying. He's praying for all of us. I'm going to look this up in the King James. John 17. This is his prayer for you and me, as well as those present. Glory to God. Y'all are so quiet this morning. Verse 17, he said, here's what he prayed. Well, look at 14. I have given them, he's talking to the Father, I have given them thy word. The world hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil. So God wants us, Jesus prayed for us, for them and for us, that we be kept from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. And then he said, for their sakes, in verse 19, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for all them which believe, which shall believe on me through their word. So Jesus prays, he's prayed for us that we be set apart, that we be sanctified, that we be different, separated, not under the control and the dominion of evil or the things of this world. It's God's will for us to be separated unto Him. And we do that by the Word, and we do that by listening and by persevering and stay with it until our soul is renewed. You get your soul renewed, and then you have to keep it renewed. If you don't, you slip back because you're surrounded by the world. You're surrounded by the world's voice. You're surrounded by fearful things and fearful people, and you keep your mind renewed, thinking straight by researching God. Amen? By spending time in the Word. And you can grow at home by yourself. You can. You have to learn things from other people. Generally, it speeds you up. I mean, it's taken us 40 years to know what we know, but we can give you things that we know quickly. Because you learn as you grow. Brother Hagin, I mean, we didn't have to start at zero. We listened to Kenneth Hagin. He had already been in the ministry a lot of years. When we began to listen to him, he had learned how to walk by faith. So we learned how to walk by faith through his ministry and speeded things up. Not every generation has to start over, thank God. Amen. God set some in the church. He set teachers in the church so that they can teach us, and we grow fast. And you're doing the right thing this week by being in a position to hear the Word of God all week. Now, let's look at John 4. Let me see if I've... John 3, 1 through 5. 1 John 3, 1 through 5. Let's look at that. I don't think I've read that yet. 1 John 3. See what incredible quality of love the Father has given or shown us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not know us is that it does not know and acknowledge Him. Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. It is not yet disclosed, made clear, what we shall be hereafter. But we know that when He comes and is manifested, we shall resemble and be like Him, for we shall see Him just as He really is. And everyone who has this hope resting on Him cleanses himself, or sanctifies himself, or sets himself apart for the Lord. Everyone who has this hope of His soon return cleanses himself just as he is pure, chaste, undefiled, and guiltless. I'm talking to you about separating yourself unto the Lord, getting things out of your life that you know are not right. We all have to continually take assessment of our lives. We have to see to it that we speak in love. We have to apologize when we don't. We have to stay attentive to the love walk, because that's where our victory is. If we're not going to walk in love, then we've already missed the commandment of the church. But if we walk in love, we fulfill all the commandments. If you're walking in love, you're not going to be committing adultery. That would hurt your wife. That would hurt your family. That would hurt your children. You're going to walk in love. If you're walking in love, you won't be murdering anybody. You won't be stealing. You'll be a giver and not a taker. Glory to God. So our love walk is absolutely the thing that where the rubber meets the road. This says, everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness, for that's what sin is, lawlessness. The breaking or the violation of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands. You know that he appeared in visible form and became man to take away, to take upon himself sins. In him there is no sin. No one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion with him, deliberately, knowingly, habitually commits sin. Nobody. It says nobody who's in communion with the Lord, knowingly and habitually commits and practices sin. Verse 8 says, but he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. It says, the reason the Son of God was made manifest was to undo and destroy and loosen and dissolve the works of the devil. So when we walk in the darkness, we're walking in the devil's territory. And we're letting our shield of faith down. We're walking out of love with God and out of love with others. So it comes down to letting God minister to us from the Word on a daily basis to keep ourselves walking right down the middle of the road. Right down the middle of the road. We don't want to go over here and have to repent, although if you're over here, you should repent and come back. But that's not our place. That's not the way grown-up Christians act, mature Christians act. We want to keep our eyes on God's Word. Let it continually correct us. You know, if you're walking in love to a degree that you watch your words and you don't say unkind things and so on, and that's, you know, you're down to the words of your mouth, watching the words of your mouth. If you're walking in that place, it's a long way from there to committing adultery. But if you're just living a loose life and you don't pay attention to the Word of God, to the things that, you know, the world would consider insignificant. But if God says them to us, they're not insignificant. So if you're walking on the Word of God, you've got a lot of places to stop before you commit hard sin. You see what I mean? I mean, if you let the Word correct you about what natural people would think are insignificant things, like your words, for instance. You don't say words of unloveliness. You don't say words of unbelief. You don't say harsh words, mean words. Then you know you've got your life. You fine-tuned your life down to a little part instead of just living like the devil, like the people around you may live. I'm telling you, you got to start where you are and obey the Word of God, but if you don't see it with your eyes and hear it with your ears, you'll let things slip. You'll let your love life slip. You'll quit putting yourself, you'll quit putting others, your mate,
above yourself, and the first thing you know, you'll be separated. The love of God will have been disappearing out of your life. You need to just start in on the Word of God. We all do. I mean, I'm not just saying you, but we need to continually keep God's Word because of the hour we live in, because of the evil that's around us, because darkness is acceptable in a lot of places where it used to not be acceptable. I mean, used to, you know, it was scandalous to get a divorce. Just scandalous. Well, that's just so common now, people don't even think about it. Well, you know, that's nothing. Well, just because things are different that way in the world doesn't mean the Word of God's changed. So we keep ourselves on the fine line of walking in love, obeying the Word of God, continually putting the Word in our eyes, in our ears, ourselves at home, day by day, letting it be God speaking to us, telling us what to do, letting the Word of God prosper our souls. Everything, your healing, everything, your finances, everything depends on how prosperous your soul is in that area. If you've never studied prospering in life, you've never studied the scriptures about prospering in the natural realm, then naturally you wouldn't have any faith there. But if you begin to study what God says from the beginning, like Ken probably preached this morning, I don't know, I wasn't here, but on the blessing, God started in the garden, blessing. That's His thing. That's what He does. That's what He enjoys to do. That's what He wants to do in your life, is to bless you, to continually bless you and increase you and heal you and prosper you, give you the perfect mate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or perfect that mate that you have, and you, glory to God. Hallelujah. God wants to do us good, but we have to cooperate. And we have to know to expect that. If you don't know what God says, you can't have faith in Him to do it. That's why you never get tired of reading the Bible, because it's always saying good things about your life. You never get tired of reading about God meets my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or He bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases, and by His stripes I was healed. Glory to God. You never get tired of reading about good things coming toward you from the Word of God. And if the Bible is boring to you, you're not giving the Spirit of God any place to give you revelation, or you're just not giving the Word of God an equal chance. Because when you read the Bible and it talks about healing you, prospering you, giving you a life of peace and joy and all the good things, it's never boring. It's always like, I mean, it's like money from home. Every time you open it up, God is speaking to me and He's saying something good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand up and pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God today. We love Your Word. We receive Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the Word of God. Thank You for bringing it alive to us. Lord, we are all coming into agreement right now. In Jesus' name, all of us here, all of us on the internet, we are all over the world. We are coming together, and we are agreeing on a deluge of the Word of God, just an outpouring of revelation this week. We open our hearts, we open our spiritual eyes, we open our ears to receive the Word of God, to receive revelation and insight. We thank You, Lord, that every need will be met in this place this week, that every person will have revelation and insight into not only the problem in their lives, but into the great and mighty things that You desire to do. And we give You all the praise. We are so grateful for the Holy Spirit. We're so grateful, Father, that You've given us Your Spirit to reveal the Word. He's the one that wrote the Word. Thank You that He reveals it to us, that He comes to live in our heart, to be our teacher. We honor that, Lord. We just honor Your Spirit. Those of you who have not received, you must do that in Jesus' name. This week, don't wait. Hallelujah. This week, we want to go on to receive the fullness. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. It's hard to have a prosperous soul if you don't have the right teacher. And as we go this morning, if you want to say, well, you say, well, I've never received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, which is also a great blessing. If you'll come right down here to the side, to this side right over here, there'll be somebody to pray with you. There's no point in you struggling the rest of the week and waiting till Saturday to receive the Holy Spirit. Or if you've never been born again, then you need to be born again first. You say, well, I was raised in church. Yes, but have you ever given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you've never done that, just come right down here. Where's my man? Here he is. That guy right there is a soul-winning fella, I'm telling you. I hear all kind of things that he and our group does to win souls. So they know what they're doing. Just hold a minute. They'll have a table for you sometime. We're giving you more time between lunch now. Anyway, so you can have lunch. So just come. Come running. Come running. Come running right now. Don't wait. Come now in Jesus' name. Right over here. Just come right there, Riley. This man's name is Riley. He's Brother Riley, and he will minister to you, help you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Awesome.
Nothing you can do that is as important as this. You can be taught by the Holy Spirit in person every day. Think about it. Every day. He's right in
every
here.
Every day. Every day.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Come ahead. Just come ahead. Thank you, Jesus.
You realize how many lives you may have saved this morning with this information?
Praise God.
If people will do
That's
it,
right.
if
That's
people
right.
will do it,
right.
there are probably thousands of lives saved today.
And
if
you know,
if you'll jump on it and do it.
If those of you watching on the internet, if you'll call the ministry, somebody will minister to you today. They're out there. They'll pray with you to receive the Lord Jesus, to receive the Holy Spirit. So just get on with it. Just get on with it. If you want to change, make a change.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Don't waste any more time.
Amen.
Amen. Time is all we've got. It's valuable. It's precious. Anyone else before we turn these loose for the counselor? Amen. Hallelujah. You can receive anything you need from the Lord all this week at any time. Praise the Lord. And right there on the internet, wherever you are in the world, you can receive right from the Lord as well. Praise the Lord. Well, the